Oh, God, do you know how to love? The Holy Spirit will teach you to love. He's the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of everything. He's the Spirit from whence Jesus Christ came forth. The Spirit that came upon Mary. Oh, it was wonderful. He came forth from that. How true it is. I've put my Bible down. Here's one. This book is Potential Death. Potential Death. Hope nobody's being disgusted and shocked with me. But it says this, that the letter killeth. It is an instrument of death. The letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life. Now God hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. This Bible is a slaying instrument in print, in the letter. Hallelujah. What a thing. The Spirit giveth life. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus is mediating the Holy Ghost and the ministry. Steady on, sister. Come off that top note, please, for a moment. Amen. And it's the Holy Ghost that's being ministered by the ministers of Jesus Christ. They're mediating this glorious new covenant. And it's all in the Spirit. Everything outside of the Spirit is death. This outside of the Spirit is death. This. Gifts outside of the Spirit are death. And it's not in the Spirit if it's not in love. Amen. It's not in the Spirit unless it's in love. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I remember Samuel Logan Brengel's testimony. I don't know whether you've read his books. I don't often advertise books except this one. But I remember years ago reading his, I believe it's Helps to Holiness, I believe it's called. And he said when God met him, he was the son of a wealthy family in America, lived at the very top of American society, and Samuel Logan got saved. Oh, what a dreadful come down for the family. He joined the Salvation Army of all people. Oh! Mind you, it was an army of blood and fire then. And I remember he said when God baptized him in the Spirit, he said he walked across Boston Common. Oh, it burned itself into my soul. I can't remember anything else he wrote. Oh, yes, I can. I can remember him saying how that some prayer meetings would be transformed if somebody only got up and shouted, "Glory!" That's right. Amen. You try it in yours next week when you get home. You'll see. My. And if it doesn't have the effect first time, shout again. Why, even the blessed ones say holy three times. Holy, holy, holy. Glory be to God. Yes, that's what he said. But, this testimony of his burned itself into my heart. I can see it as I saw it then. Written on the pages of a book, but somehow this man had imparted his spirit through it. It never slew me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I walked across Boston Common. It was in the early morning, and the dew was on the grass. Everything glistened with the glory of God. The morning was alight with the glory of God. The dew glistened with the glory of God. The grass glowed with the glory of God. The brambles across the path glowed with the glory of God. How about that? The things that should symbolize the curse to us glowed with the glory of God, like the glory of God transfigures and transforms that cross, that curse of all curses, to make it a blessing to us. And this is what the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost changes to do. The Holy Ghost changes the mundane into the glorious. He changes the everyday into the eternal day. He changes light into the glory of God. He transforms everything. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Oh, and there's something else I remember about Brengel. Hallelujah. Do you remember old Charles Grandison Finney says, the law of the mind is such that if you start to remember one thing, you'll remember something else as well. This is good psychology. I'm not giving you a course in psychology. But here, then, and never forget that God is the great psychologist. You understand this? God's the great psychologist. Bless God. Amen. And that's why you seldom need to go to one on this earth if you go to God right. And if the Holy Ghost can tell you. I've got a very dear friend who tells me of another dear friend of his. And he said she was a lady doctor on the mission field. And she came home beaten, broke down, cracked, finished. And she said that she got to God, and God baptized her in the Holy Spirit. The mission field's a dangerous place unless you're baptized in the Spirit. Well, so's England. And she said God psychoanalyzed her. The Holy Ghost went through her. She didn't need to go to a psychoanalyst or a psychiatrist. The Holy Ghost did it. Went right back down through her heart and life and exposed things. But you say, when the Holy Ghost starts to expose things, the untaught say, oh, the devil's condemning me. The devil's, oh, it's horrible. And they go to get delivered from the Holy Ghost. They go to get delivered from the Holy Ghost. No wonder we're in this mess. When the Holy Ghost comes and he starts to really show you the subterranean channels of your life, when he really does, you listen to him and then say, hey, Lord, take it away. Lord, blot it out. Lord, that's the way. Don't shut your eyes to it, and whatever you do, don't go and get Largactyl. Let the Holy Ghost deal with you, beloved. Praise his wonderful name. And I remember this man Logan. When God dealt with him, he had one great craving desire. This noble man, this gentleman, he begged to be allowed to clean the boots every morning. Yes, in the Salvation Army Citadel in Boston. He begged to be allowed to be the boot black. He'd always had everything cleaned for him. Everything. He'd never done a thing in his life. And God revolutionized him, taught him how to clean shoes. We're also, I must go to a deliverance class. I must get taught this, I must get taught that. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost has come to teach you how to live. Isn't that marvelous? Praise God. Eh? Have you ever heard this said before, that when Jesus Christ was 12 years of age, he goes off down to the temple, and he's sitting amongst the doctors of divinity, and he's just about telling them everything. And then God says, now you just go back home. You've got to be trained how to sweep up the shavings first, Jesus. That's right. You go back down there. You go back and learn how to sweep up the shavings. Oh, but I'm called of God. I've got all a ministry in me. I'm the Savior of the age. In other words, go back there and learn how to sweep up the shavings. That's right. Go and learn to say, do you want this bit of wood, Joseph? Is it this bit you want? Say, but I'm the mighty God. I can't do that. That's your trouble. You're a mighty human being. You can't do that. But the Almighty God can if you'll let him. In you. Praise the name of the Lord. The trouble is that people are trying to mend other people's lives right and sweep the muck out of other people's life and the devil's out of other people's life, and they never learn to sweep the shavings up yet. That's the trouble. That's their trouble. Nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with a baptism in the Spirit. It's your mind that's wrong. The whole attitude to the things of life is wrong. The ministry. The greatest ministry that a man can ever have is a life that's right with God and flows in love and is normalized by the man Christ Jesus. That life that he lived in the flesh. That's normal Christianity. Isn't this a marvelous thing, beloved? Amen. Praise God. Now, you look at the things that we have as advantages in these days. The Holy Ghost is with us, going to do tremendous things. What we've got to do primarily, beloved brothers and sisters, is love. That's the big thing. Are we all convinced about this? Are we all convinced about it? Beloved, let us love. Love is of God. In God alone hath love its true abode. Beloved, let us love. For they who love, they only are his sons, born from above. Beloved, let us love. In love is light, and he who loveth not dwelleth in night. Beloved, let us love, for love is rest, and he who loveth not abides unblessed. Beloved, let us love. For only thus shall we behold the God that loveth us. That's right. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Now, just look round in this conference and see who it is you don't love. Well, now listen. Do they know you love them? Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. We should never have known it unless God had told us. Do they know you love them? Have you ever told them? Have you ever done it? Or do you leave them to be good guessers? If we'd had to guess that God loved us, where would we be? Why, I'm finding people, they don't believe it, though God's told them. Where should we be if we were left in guesswork? Hey? Where should we be? Praise God. Lovely to go up to someone and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Sometimes people come up and grab hold of me and say, I love your brother. I say, yes, and I love you too. In fact, I think I'd like to spend my days saying it. I think rather I'd like to spend them proving it. Amen. To love. For John said, don't let's love in word. Let's love in deed. Isn't this glorious? Amen. And I love that word in Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I written unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to, works before words, do and teach. Don't you reverse the order. Not to teach and do, but to do and teach. You teach what you do, will you? Oh, but sure, I'm here to catechize them and teach them the Bible and teach them. You teach what you do. If you don't love them, don't try and teach them that God loves them, because they just won't believe it. They won't believe it. But if you can love them, really love them, I don't mean a lot of sloppy sentimental treacle falling out of your mouth. I don't mean that. I don't mean that. But I do mean, beloved, that people need to be told they're loved. You heard me say this before, let me say it again. It was in a smaller conference than this, and when it was all over, I've forgotten who it was, came up to me. I believe it was a little lady, I'm not quite sure about that. But she came up at the end of the conference and she said, I have been blessed in this conference, Mr. North. I said, praise the Lord, dear, I'm ever so glad to hear that. And she said, do you know the thing that blessed me most? I said, no. She said, it was when you stood up and said, Jesus thinks you're wonderful. Yeah. Jesus thinks you're wonderful. It doesn't matter what you think. Glory. Glory. The only thing that counts in heaven is what Jesus thinks. Hallelujah. Jesus thinks you're wonderful. And I know he does. See? Because he paid a price for your redemption. You're so precious to Jesus. You're so wonderful to him. He paid a price that God couldn't really afford. It was God's absolute extravagance. Glory. How can you expend a member of the Godhead? I'm not trying to enter into the mystery of it all. I can't explain it. But God forsook him. And the Godhead can't be without three persons. I don't understand this. Hallelujah. But I know he thinks you're wonderful. It doesn't matter if you've been beaten up and brought up under the rod. It doesn't matter whether you've been broken or anything like that. It doesn't matter what the fears are in your heart and mind. God thinks you're wonderful. Go on. You can really afford to believe that and indulge your heart in it. Say, but you see, I've made so many mistakes. Is there anybody in this room that's made more mistakes than I have? Put your hand up. Put them down. You haven't. You haven't. Put them down. You're mistaken. Don't you see? Glory be to God. But I have not made any mistake about this. Jesus loves me. And I go and I curl up on my old little old bed wherever I am. Sometimes it's a big one traveling round. And I just say, Lord, I love you. Sometimes I'm too tired to pray. Sometimes I can't do anything but just get crawl in between the sheets and lie there. Oh. And I'm gone. I'm gone. That's right. And when I awake, I'm still with him. And he's with me. Isn't that precious? Say, but don't you go through your long prayer list every night? No. And I tell you what, I don't go through my long sin list either. Because I've got neither a prayer list or a sin list. Amen. I've got Jesus. I've got eternal love. I've got him, you know. It isn't an it I've got. It's him. Him. And he loves me. And I love him. Oh, it's so glorious to live this way. Mind you, I'm only really learning it. But it's wonderful. Amen. Now you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your whole being. Go on. Faith will work when you really start to love. Faith works by love. You say, well now, if I don't love him, how can I love him? Well, start to love him by faith. Faith is the law that governs everything in the spiritual world. When you want to love, come up spontaneously. Jesus, I want to love you. He'll dispose himself. He'll place himself in your arms. It's just what he wants. He wants to be loved. Hallelujah. That'll break down all the barriers. That breaks down all the barriers. You try it. You try it. You husband and wife, if there's been something between you, start to love one another. You see, the barriers will go. That's right. You friends that aren't so friendly as you ought to be, start to love one another. You'll find all the barriers will go. Praise God. Both of you should want to apologize. Both of you should want to take the blame. If you really love one another, Jesus so loved me, he wanted to take the blame. He wanted to take the sin. Don't you see? He loved me. He didn't say, now, it was your fault, you know. It was your fault. That's the trouble. He treated me as though it wasn't my fault. I'm learning to love. He treated me as though it wasn't my fault at all. don't understand it, do you? But I'm enjoying it. Therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift by the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer thy gift. Hallelujah. For don't you realize that the whole basis of Jesus' giving of himself to his Father was about the business of reconciliation? That you and I might be reconciled to God. You can't give God a gift. No, you can't give him yourself. You can't give him anything until first, don't take your gift away. Say, Lord, I'm yours. The gift's yours. Everything's yours. Leave it at the altar. Now go and get reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer thy gift. Isn't this an amazingly simple way? Have you got anybody you've got to be reconciled with? When I was leaving Bradford, where God had mightily blessed us, where literally God opened up this tremendous realm of truth and knowledge and blessing to me, I stayed there 12 and a half years, and when I was leaving Bradford, I sat down and I talked to my wife. Now, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, says the Bible. I've never called her a thing, but the Bible says he finds a thing. No, I've never called her a thing. Not even said, hello, old thing. But I remember sitting down and talking to her and saying, dear, before we leave, there are some people I must go and see. And so we talked together, and she'll remember. And I said, now there's Mrs. So-and-so. Yes, I must go and see Mrs. So-and-so. So I went up to see Mrs. So-and-so, and I said, sister, you know I'm leaving. She said, yes, I've heard. She hadn't been inside the building for a long time. I said, I'm leaving, but I could not leave until I'd come to ask you whether you'd really got anything against me, sister. We must leave in love, please. And she sat there. I believe she's gone to be with the Lord now. I'll put it on record to her faithfulness and her kindness to me. And she sat there. And she said, no, I don't think I have. And I said, I wondered why such and such a thing happened and this took place. And I felt I just couldn't go away. And if I've offended you in any way, and if in any way I've sinned against you, please, sister, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? And let's love one another. Let's be, if there's any need for reconciliation, let's be reconciled to one another. Yes, she said. And she wept. And so did I, but it was inside. And we prayed. And we left in love. I don't know what had happened. Didn't seem to be anything. But somehow God told me I must go and get reconciled. And I did. Praise the name of the Lord. And when I meet her up there, it'll be all right. I don't know what I would do when I got up there if I wasn't reconciled. What do you think I'd do? Should I say, please, Lord, will you excuse me a moment? I can see Mrs. So-and-so. Now I'm in heaven. I can see how foolish it all was and how wicked. please forgive me, Lord. I'll go. But the Bible doesn't say I'm going to have this opportunity. I can't live in this fantastic realm. Who told you you're going to get reconciled after you've died? You've got to do it on this earth, where the blood was shed, where the reconciling life was laid down. Amen. Wonderful, isn't it? Are you ready? Are you ready to be reconciled with everybody? The only person you can't be reconciled with is the devil. Amen. Love everyone else. Beloved, let's love.